Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Welcome, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and it's great to have you in another one of our editions of our Life West Leadership Line. I am going not by coastal, but for sure by country, right? You know, I've got Dr. David Fletcher with me coming from Toronto. I'm sitting in the Bay Area. It's so cool because it feels like we're in the same room. David, great to see you, man.
Ron, it's fabulous to catch up with you. And most importantly, thank you for inviting me so that we can tell some good long-winded stories, but most importantly, hopefully raise the bar.
Well, and it is, because today I want to raise the bar. And, you know, we've had so many conversations and talked about, you know, where we want to take this profession, where we see it going, which I want to dive into today. But I want to just, before we get going, I want to let our audience know, most people know you, but if you don't know Dr. David, David graduated in 1980 from CMCC. So he's been 44 years now in the profession, practiced in Toronto for what, for 36 years? But 14 years ago, he took over a Chiropractic Leadership Alliance, CLA, where they do amazing equipment for, you know, to be able to share whether it's heart rate variability or SEMG and thermography, things like that. And he's been in academics for many, many years. He was with CLA for 17 years, just doing the academic side of it while he was in full-time practice. And he just lectured all over the globe, and we've been on stages together, and he's going to be speaking at the Wave coming up in August, and he is just a very cool dude, someone that you just got to get to know. So they're going to get to know you right now, but I want to start our conversation off by this. And I know if you hand one of us the mic, we could speak for 25 hours, you know, along.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll keep it a conversation, but I want to ask you, because I never asked you this actually. How'd you get into chiropractic? I mean, you must have started school like in 77 to graduate in 80, right? How'd you get there?
It's a crazy story, really. I was a kid growing up in Winnipeg and pretty good little athlete at the time.
Wait a minute. You're Winnipeg?
I'm Winnipeg, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I know, where there is phenomenal chiropractic, especially the Marcuse that were coming out of Life and everywhere else. But interestingly, and this is interesting to hear how it goes, is that the Winnipeg School Board had actually adopted a scoliosis screening program for, you know, I would say in the seventh grade or somewhere like that. And so I was, and this is relevant, is that they detected that I had a slight scoliosis, and my parents followed up with, and they took me to a chiropractor. And the chiropractor did a full spine x-ray and was looking through the lens of the spine. And they said, listen, you know, you really should have the care that's necessary. And so I began a care plan. And in those days, that your parents would stick you on a bus and you'd go. And it was just a time in life where it was, I've got more and better things to do. And my parents were like, well, we started the process. I think I went for about 6 visits. And I ended up just, you know, detaching from the whole process. But that was my introduction to chiropractic. So nothing special at all. Anyhow, continuing on, I ended up playing a lot of sports, and I started to actually contract, I guess you'd say contract, but exhibit the most terrible symptoms of asthma. And so I was like hospitalized asthma, and I started to wither as this once robust child. So I was. This is great because it was 14. And so I always remember the pediatrician at the time, his name was Dr. Briggs, said to me, well, this is the medical model. He said, well, asthma tends to work in 7-year cycles. And he says, well, you're 14. So by the time you're 21, you probably should have this thing a little more under control. And that was that.
You'll outgrow it, right?
Three times seven is, three times seven. So great, great medicine. And so anyhow, I continue to play, but I end up deteriorating really poorly. And so Sunday dinner, my parents, we meet up with my uncle Bill, who's a farmer north of Winnipeg. And he looks at my dad and he says to my dad, he says, for gosh sakes, Charlie, take that kid to a chiropractor. And so my dad said, well, we went to a chiropractor. He says, no, take him back to the chiropractor. And here's the importance of the story. So my chiropractor was trained originally by BJ himself, my original chiropractor, okay, in Winnipeg, and Obie Baisley. And so I go back in, and instead of the lens of me coming in through the scoliosis spinal distortion, he looks at me as a chiropractor and finds my subluxation and begins to adjust me as a chiropractor instead of as a spinal therapist. And guess what happens? You know, I start to heal and I start to experience. So I continue on with that, and I'm in mathematics. So I'm a mathematician in the sense of going through my undergrad, and I realize that that's not the path I want. And so I wake up one day, and of course, if you're in that realm, you're going to go into medicine or something like this and, you know, do whatever. And I take this, you know, left turn at Albuquerque, and I wind up at CMCC. I decide that I want to be a chiropractor. My parents thought it was great. My siblings and all my friends thought I was crazy. But anyhow, so I get into this with the full knowledge that chiropractic is bigger than anybody believes it should be or can be, because I've experienced it. And so that was my path. And so when I got out, I always had a love of the numbers. I always had a love of the research. I always had a love of understanding why was going on. But I knew that there was a bigger why, which was the caring of this adjustive model. And so I started out in a town of 3,500, and I think 3,499 people in that town came to see me because it was just passion driven. And so it's a wonderful lead in, because as what you and I are going to talk about is that with the biggest story that you can have, which is chiropractic, by the way, there's never a day in your life where you won't be busy. You know, this idea that you have to grow a practice or whatever else, sure, there's stumbles along the way. But I've never experienced a time when I wasn't overwhelmed with the love and joy of parents and patients coming in to see me.
Yeah. And yeah, it takes you back to that line from the Shawshank Redemption, you know, when Red, who was Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Says to Tim Robbins, you know, says to him, you either get busy dying or you get busy living, right? But we're always busy. And it really is true. We're either busy on a cycle going down, we're busy staying like this. People think we're not doing anything. No, you're doing something. You're busy going. And we make those choices when we open our lens to be able to see it, you know, professionally also, you know.
Absolutely. You know, I remember in my early days, I used to lecture on the same stages. We used to travel Dog and Pony Show with Sig and Fibs. Yeah. And so Sig and I got to know each other exceedingly well, although he never knew my name. But I'm just joking. Hey, young fellow was what he'd always say. But I loved him. And he was the guy who sort of implanted in me that there were no boundaries. Even if you thought you were busy, there were more people to care for. And it wasn't about the ego that you could say, I got busier, I'm here on stage because I can share with you. It was because you understood the responsibility of this knowledge of what you can do. And there just aren't enough of us. And so when we understood that in the community, it wasn't like building a good practice. It was about saying, I'm available. And there was a guy in my, so I practiced outside of Red Deer, and Dr. Smith was there. Dr. Smith would see on average 200 to 250 patients every day. Okay. Every day. And he only took one day off a year, which was Christmas Day. And he never stopped. And he embellished this principle. He owned half the town, because what else do you do with your money? But he didn't do it for the money. Honestly, he did it because he was so invested in this message. I don't know if that exists anymore.
You know, some of the greatest tapes that I have. In fact, it's going to be released in the next few weeks, probably, hopefully. I have something coming out called The Vault.
V-A-U-L-T,
right? Okay. It goes like this. You open it up, you go in, and it's going to have, it's got videos and recordings, like, you know, the audio recordings of all. And we've got the Red Deer tapes.
Oh, if you got Sigifus Red Deer tapes, yeah. That was, instrumental. I was behind all of that.
I have them. I'm telling you, they were incredible tapes. You know, I remember them in the 80s and there or 90s, whenever they came out, but they were incredible.
It was 80s, yeah.
But I will tell you this about Sig, and it's interesting because of the humility that this man had. People would see him on stage and they think he was like this, you know, but then you get with him personally. The most excited time I saw him off the stage was we were lecturing together in Las Vegas at an upper cervical conference, and my dad was with me. At that time, my dad was probably 82, 83 years old. He's 97, will be 98 in a few months. My father still drives, still, but him and Sid just sat down. So Sid was just sitting out by himself somewhere outside the room. And I said, "Dad, this is Jim Segelflew, this is Marvin." And they just started talking, and he asked my dad if he was a war veteran. And my dad said, "Yeah, you know, my dad served in World War II," and I went in and talked. My dad didn't even hear me. You know, he came to listen to me, didn't hear me. I came out, I said, "Dad, I gotta get a flight." He was driving back to the airport. I literally flew in and flew out. And they just talked and they were just so excited. And Sigma says, "Can you just go for lunch with, you know, whoever, and then come back? Because we're in this.
We're not done yet."
It was so beautiful, you know. But I'll tell you, the humility of this man was, I thought, was so beautiful that I remember someone came up to him one day and said, "Listen, I want to come to your practice. I want you to practice. Can I do that?" And he said, "No."
"No." "Yeah, I know that."
"What? No. No. Can I just come watch you for a day?" "No." "An hour?" "No." "Why?" And he said, "Because if you come watch me, you know, it's not what your vision is. And you'll come and you'll either say, 'I can't do that,' or 'I can do better. I thought he was going to.' It's like, just whatever I share with you that's in your mind is yours. Stay with that."
"Yep.
Don't come to see me. Be you, you know?" And it was like, ooh.
Yeah. That's
humble. That's humble.
It was really humble. And just for everybody, he was doing like 1,200 or 1,500 out of this farm in Pennsylvania for like, you know, ever. It was crazy, man.
Hey, let's talk about the profession.
Yeah.
Because, listen, you know, you're on the pulse, you're all over, you know, and we crossed paths. We just saw each other a couple of weeks ago. But where do you see the profession right now?
Well, I think that, you know, people who are listening are going to get tired of the sort of bromide that kind of goes, "Well, it's the best time ever." But actually, I can prove to people that this is a really good time for chiropractic. My contention is that, you know, using ism from Larry, it was like chiropractic is the only profession that circles the wagons and shoots inward. So we've done everything we could have done to slow the progression. But the one thing that seems to have really consolidated people's view of medicine and or the opportunities outside of medicine was COVID. And we know that when people really who were critical thinkers, at least conscious people, sort of looked at it and went, "That's the best you can do. You know, you can give me a mask, wash your hands, and give me something else." Is they sort of went, "Well, I need to protect myself." And so this is what we statistically saw. Now, CLA tends to work with very committed chiropractors. So we have a network of thousands of doctors around the planet. But the one thing that keeps them together is this principle of neurofunctional capabilities. And we focus on that because the technologies that we provide really are focused on the subluxation modeling, which means that if you have this distortion within your nervous system, there's going to be implications. And, you know, the chiropractors, again, everybody should know this, is that when you have a distorted autonomic system, you're going to have a blunted immune response and you're going to be pro-inflammatory. That's not a chiropractic concept. That's medicine. And that's science that goes along with it. When I say that's medicine, they should know all this. But the truth of it is that none of that is given credibility unless there's a pathology attached to it, like a virus or whatever else that goes along. Whereas on our side of the equation, what we're saying is protect yourself, let the body do what it was designed to do, listen and learn and take care of itself, and you can't have an obstructed nervous system. So that's the message that is so simplistic. And in COVID, we started to watch this. So March 2020 comes up, you know, we're 4 years into this thing now as of this week, but March 2020 comes up and we see the number of new patients traditionally dip because offices close down. But something starts to happen. And that is that probably as early as 4 to 6 weeks after that, we start to see that chiropractors come back into their offices, but not seeing the same cohort of people. They start to get this wickedly abrupt hockey stick happening of where not only are we seeing, because we can track ages, not only are we seeing the ages of the traditional back-to-back people, we're seeing now that the youth is coming in. So now we have this opportunity to say, well, how long is that going to go and level out? And it starts to, it continues on right through 21 and early 22, and then it starts to level out. And when we start to survey our clients who are involved in this, you know why it's leveling out? Capacity. Not because they don't have any more, that they can't find enough chiropractors to work with them to manage the capacity that's coming in. Now, we have a pretty big, you know, data set to work with. So we're looking at, we're taking in somewhere around 6 million scans a year that's coming into our thing. So we're looking at regions that are, you know, in the Northeast and in the Northwest. And so it doesn't matter. It's across the board that we're seeing this huge trajectory, but the same thing that's going on is we can't keep up with the influx of new patients. And it's a crazy story.
Yeah. And we have, and you know, that's a capacity issue for our profession.
Yeah.
Obviously. You know, I mean, and I've been saying this forever, you know, and before I even took the seat, you know, we had, you know, how many people, you know, how many billions of people on the planet, right? Let's say 6 billion, right? And when you, and forget about the planet, let's just talk about North America, just right. North America, right? You know, 330, and we'll cut off Mexico and just say, you know, Canada and the U.S., right? You know, we have 330 million in the U.S. and whatever we have in Canada. You know, let's just say we have 300. What do they have in Canada? What's your population?
40 million. So let's say 400 million people.
400. Yeah, we'll be generous, right? We'll say 400 million. So we've got 400 million people, you know, and we probably have, let's be generous, 85,000 chiropractors. That's being really generous, right? That's super generous because there was only 65 and 10 in Canada, you know, 75. But, you know, people, you know, but let's just say 85. Let's say 100,000. Do the math. Like that 100,000 chiropractors cannot take care of 400 million people. We just can't. We need so many more chiropractors. It's just crazy. We have a capacity issue. And even if everyone's offices were totally filled up, we wouldn't even touch. What we need to touch to be able to get the world under care, get North America section that we did. David, we got a major problem. And people wonder, they go, oh my God, we can't, you know, how do I get busy? And how do we do? I mean, my gosh, we got the greatest gift in the world, right? But our message has to be very concise and it has to be very clean and it has to be very, and that's what COVID did. COVID opened people's minds, I believe at least, to, they couldn't even go see their doctors. They're medical doctors, right? You know, or they had to wait in the parking lot or whatever. Maybe they had to do that in certain states and maybe provinces.
Canada.
maybe, you know, but at least they got to go in and be able to be touched, not be on the screen. And, you know, and I really would talk to people about what do I do about my body, you know, and how do I take care of this? And I have to tell you, though, we do have a capacity issue.
Well, you know, what's interesting that, and this is where I love this part of the conversation, because, you know, you might be thinking, well, because there's this big number, you know, and chiropractic has this opportunity, you can do whatever you want to do. If you want to be a sports related chiropractor or a back related chiropractor, God bless you. You're helping people. But the sweet spot that I know of and that you teach through the college and everything else is that if you become neurologically trained and you start to understand the impact that chiropractic has to the nervous system, let everybody else look at the pain and let everybody else do the physiotherapy that's associated with it. There is such a sweet spot to just talk to parents and to talk to grandparents and to talk to four generational people. Just go ahead and be a family-based practitioner. You know, just go ahead and then just talk to them. They're going to get in motor vehicles. They're going to end up with concussions. You got to be something to everybody, but just go and bait your hook and be the best family-based chiropractor in your community, and you will be loved forever.
Yeah, yeah, and you are so needed.
I mean, and so needed. Yeah,
no idea. I mean, you know, but when we—it's all our, you know, now I'm going to me. Not for I'm going away from the data. I'm going to be that. Yeah. Our mindset is just we're so myopic a lot of times, right? Like you said, you know, chiropractors shooting in. I have chiropractors calling me left and right at the college. Left and right looking for associates.
Oh, I know.
They're busy. because they're going. And we got to build a model that, my associates are going, my graduates are going out right now. They're starting at 100,000, 120,000, because they're going, they're not just going to do exams. They're going to take care of people, right? Back in the day when we graduated, right? You know, you go in, you do exams for 6 months or whatever, and then you do whatever, and they finally start adjusting. And, you know, people are busy. And, you know, the truth is the more chiropractors we put out, the more busier everyone's going to get. You know, high tide rises all ships, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because I had a great conversation with a doctor this past weekend, and you know, he's been busy in practice just like we talked about, but he decided he was going to try and get into corporate, and he's done a great job on corporate, not through the lens, interestingly, of occupational health, but through the lens of just what we talked about, stress identification, stress management, you know, improvement of the health. When we were in our practice in Toronto, just outside of it in the first suburb called Pickering, there's a nuclear plant there. And everybody's like, oh, my God, you live in a nuclear. Yeah, they have 3,500 engineers as employees in this place. And we would go in and we would talk exactly what it was, you know, identifying, you know, where stress could interfere with your relationship of your spine and your nervous system and everything else. I think we got 3,499 of those engineers' families in there. It doesn't matter what you bait your hook with. Just tell the story of chiropractic and then find great associates to work with you. I mean, it couldn't be any.
And they get it too. You know, listen.
Oh.
You know,
oh.
They get it. You talk to engineers. You talk to, you know, you talk to mathematicians. You talk to people who have logical brains, right? Who really can go from point A to point B. And they know how to get there, right? And if you just tell them the story about the nervous system, the brain, the spinal cord, the nerves, you know, talk to them about spinal health, talk to them about neurological health, it just connects, the points connect. And I have to tell you, this is so cool, because when you and I graduated, it was hard bone on soft nerve.
You know? Oh, yes.
You know, yep. You know, rock on the hose in the garden kind of thing, right? And I'm not saying that's wrong by any means. You know, it's not bad to keep it simple, but nowadays, the message is very, very different. And Mary and I got to watch my children, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Three daughters are chiropractors. And we got to watch them graduate and see what their messaging is, right? And their messaging is just so beautiful. I mean, it's so beautiful. And David, I have to tell you this. Mary and I took a walk last night. We took a walk. It wasn't raining here. Well, it's been raining a lot here. We took a walk when I got home. And we're talking about, you know, of all things chiropractic. And we're just talking about how the generational differences are. Because when you're the same, you know, we graduated a year apart, you know, a badge of honor that I haven't had a medication in my body for 45 years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was all about the drug companies and all about that, you know, and like the messaging for these kids these days is so different. They're not thinking about the drugs. I mean, they know drugs are needed, but you know, we had an enemy in those days called the AMA, who was trying to squash us in the Wilkes trial and everything else. And nowadays, that's not part of their vocabulary. You know, they don't care about that. What they care about is enhancing your system, enhancing your, you know, your body. And as a byproduct of that, you aren't going to need medication. If you do, you do. You know, they just don't focus on that. Where we were focusing on the negative, at least I was, drugs
Absolutely.
Are bad. You know, drugs are bad where they're pushed to prescribe, which, you know, I still don't take, but we were focused on that as compared to, let's talk about this beautiful system here and how it works and how we can enhance your life.
You know, it's interesting. Edward De Bono came up with the whole concept of lateral thinking. And so I learned that pretty early in life. But, you know, one of the things that he said is that if you have this barrier, you know, if you're given the task that says, listen, you know, you need to go from A to B, you know, and there's a barrier from getting from A to B, you have to, you know, go through barbed wire, do whatever it is. He said, what's the logical solution? To stop people, sorry, the deal was to stop people from going from A to B. And he said, make a clear path to C. He said, if you make a clear path to C, you've accomplished what you did instead of trying to build barriers from A to B. Sorry, I kind of screwed that up.
But, but you're right. You're right. You're right. It's the path of least resistance, right?
Path of least resistance. And so in our early days, we had to contend with the perceptions and pick a fight and be very defensive in our relationships. But now you don't have to do that. And on top of that, you and I were caught in a time, you know, warp of where you in terms of advertising yourself, you had to take an ad out or you dropped a business card. I don't even know if anybody has a business card anymore. Today, it's so easy to catch eyeballs. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, everybody does it. Yeah. And I think you talk about one of those proud moments. I grew huge practices, and my greatest point of reference was I never spent a dollar on advertising. I didn't have to. It was all referral. Well, now you'd be a fool if you didn't go out and try and expand your you know, your perception and your reach without getting into, you know, digital marketing. So it's a different world, but it's a great world out there.
It is. And that's what's going to elevate us as a profession.
I think so.
I think so. I mean, because we have a clear channel to communicate our message, right? We don't have to be on TV. We don't have to do, you know, we don't have to fight against all these larger corporations and companies and professions, right? Whether it's big agro, big pharma, whatever it is, to try and get our message out where you can actually hit the individuals because our viewers now are doing this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know,
and they're floating through like this and they're not watching TV, right? That's not what they're doing, you know? And it's really exciting times. I mean, I would think this when we started practice, the first thing we need to do is get a good CA, someone who could run the front of it. I mean, nowadays we can get a good marketer, get a good social media marketer, you know what?
And
blow it up like that where everyone in your town knows you and you're putting out good content and they trust you because that's the media, you know.
It's a
different world.
It's a good world, and I think the world is primed for us. And
let's talk about a few minutes left. Let's talk about where we're going, right?
Oh, sure.
What's the next step? Because it is the best time.
I do think so. So I want everybody to get busy, but it's a little bit. First off, I want chiropractors to be proud of the choice they made to be a chiropractor. And there's no better way to do that than to live big. And I don't mean live expensively or otherwise, but live with pride in the sense that you made a choice that's making a difference in life. And you know, when somebody says, what kind of doctor are you? You proudly say, I'm a chiropractor. Because there was a time when we had to kind of dodge the incoming when that was there. Anyhow, when you live with pride and you have this sense that you are capable and necessary in this, it means that money flows your way. And money is just energy. So let's just talk about money and energy in that realm. But it's really important that you feel that you are necessary, not that you're just an add-on into this society. Because when you realize that, it means you're an influencer. And when you influence, it means you influence communities in the way they think and the way they act. And we all have seen that, not just in your practice, but here's, you know, just in the early days, I had a coaching program called Ripple Effects. And it was all based upon the principle that if you throw a pebble, watch the ripple. And if you can take yourself out of that realm and start to realize the influence you have that goes many, many concentric rings out there, you're going to feel that you are going to get distracted. And Ron, you and I were talking about it earlier. You are always connected to the furthest ring with your energy if you're willing to give. If you're willing to give into this realm, and remember, you can't outgive the giver. And the second part of it is that there is no limit to the amount of giving because giving means that you get. And so you have to learn that. And that's a tough skill to have because, you know, everything costs money, like your education costs money and everything else. But that's not a cost. As you and I know, Ron, it's an investment, which is all about learning how to get so you can give more. And I, that was something I had to learn. Like we came from a very loving family, but we grew up with nothing. So, you know, giving was of our time. But there's a limit when you're busy of your time. And a great man once told me, you can only grow as far as you can delegate. Mm-hmm. So learn out what, if I could give some, you know, some advice, learn to be what you are best at in practice. For me, it was educating and adjusting. That's all I did. And I delegated everything else out. And that allowed me to have the time and the money and the resources to start to learn to give. And we started to learn to give to the community. We started to give as much as we could to causes we wanted in the community, not because it was going to build the practice, but because we cared about the women's shelters and the homeless people that were in there. And we became known in the community as the person who they could go to ask to give more. And that was wonderful. We loved that. And then as that grew in our community, I realized that I could have a voice that was bigger within chiropractic, but also within the world. It was called CLA. And now we give to institutions like yours and to all the institutions that matter. And so the sphere of influence that allows us to where we were giving a great adjustment to an individual and then to their family, and you get the whole ripple effect of it. We now are in the position where we're giving from the heartfelt, you know, give, love, serve principle as far as we can. Because we understand that wealth is not limited to the dollars we have, but to the love we get. And as a consequence of that, all we care about is sharing this great principle, knowing that it makes a difference. And here's one of the consequences. We have more than enough to, I'm talking Nancy and I, we have more than enough to live through whatever we choose. And it's a beautiful life. And I want everybody to have that. We're just, I'm just a kid from Winnipeg.
And they can have that. You know,
it's
clearing the subluxations above Atlas and being able to really understand that the three things are my time, my talent, my treasure. And yes. I might not have all the time in the world, right? You know, because I'm busy doing what I'm doing, right? And I might not have certain talents, like you said, but you focused on the talents that you did have, which was awesome, right? But I certainly have treasure. And treasure might be, you know, it could be in the form of money, it could be in the form of donations of other things. But the minute we start giving, it just, like you said, the hole you give through is proportional to the hole you receive from.
So
and
true.
The more you give, and it's the hardest principle to teach people that give when you can't give. Give when it hurts. And if you give when it hurts, like you said, not to receive, but just give to the cause, right? Give for the betterment of humanity. You'll be blessed beyond belief. I mean, it is. And how do you teach somebody that educatedly, that principle? It's like saying to someone, how much money you got in your pocket? Go give it all away right now. You know? And you know, people go, wow, I can't do that. Well, yeah, you can. And watch what happens, you know? And then, you know, but be in gratitude and be in love and be at that higher frequency, right? It's so cool, man.
I got a really...
I want to tell our audience this because I really do. And David, you've given over hundreds of thousands of dollars to the college just in the last couple of years. You know, you gave equipment to Bellevue, to our campus in Nebraska. You upgraded all the equipment here and in California. I mean, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you don't do it for clients for to sell more units. You do it for educational purposes because it's the right thing to do. So thank you. I really mean that.
Well, you're always welcome. And you know, we're selective in the sense that we give to the vision and mission of the people that care about it because we know that's going to accelerate it. Yeah. I have a really quick story about giving, and I know we're running out of time, but I was gifted to have this wonderful father. I mean, mother and father, but my dad was this kid from the middle of nowhere that fought in the Second World War, saw terrible things and came back and loved life after that. He just adored life. And so so his passion, believe it or not, was that he built candy factories. And so we were the sort of the original. He was the guy who invented Slush Puppy as it came through. So anyhow, you'd think he was riding the high, but he was just a kid, farm kid, didn't know business worth anything, built a big factory in Winnipeg and absolutely went broke. You know, we overextend himself. But here's the part of the story that matters. He was always invested in his community. And I'm not Jewish, but he was the head of the Council of Christians and Jews. And when he went out of business, the Jewish community gathered together, bought all the equipment back from that was associated with the receiver and put him back into business. Because he was such an honest and kind man, but more importantly, it was the right thing to do. And those kind of stories that I want you to hear is about this sense of giving. You never know where it's going to come back from. So just a beautiful story.
I love it. I love it. I mean, that is really beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
And it shows the measure of the man.
Oh, you know? Well.
It really does. Oh, my heart's warm. David, it's been a pleasure, man. It's been so good. And listen, I know there are a lot of pearls that were dropped right now. And you know, I think if we could get people back to that place of, like we talked about, certainty, back to that place of value, you know, where they value what they do and who they are and as a chiropractor and as a human being and giving, you know, to really open up and realize that the more you give, the more you receive and, you know, do it for the right reasons. You know, that is a successful life, right? That's it's so beautiful. Thank you, brother.
I love it.
We gotta end it sometime, man. The date end.
Just darn it.
Tonight, you know,
darn it.
I gotta drop you back off at home. And to our viewers, thank you. Thanks for coming in week after week. You know, these LifeWest Leadership Lines are we drop them every other week. The opposite weeks is the Life by LifeWest. That's with myself and my wife, Dr. Mary. But our whole thing with these are just to get out and educate people, bring people like Dr. David and other guests that you get to hear. You might have heard David speak multiple times or maybe haven't. You just got introduced. But, you know, the bottom line is this, is that the more we can take time to feed ourselves, feed our souls, feed our minds, and do what we have to do to be the best that we could possibly be, so that when it's all over for us, we could just look at that last breath and say, you know, I did it. I gave everything that I had, and I did it. I was balanced in what I did. That's what it's about. So thank you. And keep spreading these and share these. There are people in your world right now that need to hear what Dr. David said, I promise you. And you might not know that they're struggling, but they could be struggling. And everyone should hear it, not just if they're struggling, but also to elevate wherever we might be, because we all got to level up. So thank you. We'll be back at you next week with another Life by LifeWest will be next week. And just know that I love and appreciate you. And from Dr. David and myself, keep loving those people around you and taking care. Tell the story and go out and make a difference in this world, because you're not here to just sit around. Like, literally, you are here to make a huge difference. And I know that, you know, we both, David and I, know that you can. So we love and appreciate you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.